Good morning. Good to see everybody here. I don't know why three or four people came up to me telling me that the clock on the back wall has been fixed. Maybe there's a message there somewhere. I'm not really quite sure. We'll do the best that we can. Have you ever been on an airplane that you were actually afraid during the flight? I used to fly all the time, got on a plane that seemed every Monday morning and flew home every Thursday night. So that was just kind of the life that Lynn and I led for some time. And I feel like I went through a string of flights where I always got to sit next to the person that had never flown before or that was scared to death. Remember one time this one girl, just before we were about to take off, she looks at me and says, "Can I hold your hand? I've never flown before." And I looked at I was reading something. I looked over and she was white as a ghost. And I figured that she was about 30 seconds away from throwing up on me. So I used my Solomon-like skill of decision-making and decided to hold her hand. I figured that was the best choice that I could make. Twice I remember being afraid of on an airplane. It was one time we were descending, trying to fly. It was very thick clouds. And You know when you've been descending for some time, the nose is starting to go, and then all of a sudden he guns it, and we just take off again. We never really touched ground, and came to find out later a plane had veered onto the runway where we were supposed to, on an active runway, and the pilot had to go about and circle around and can't come around again. The second time it was during takeoff, again, thunderstorms all over, and the pilot is going down the runway, he's picking up speed, and all of a sudden he just breaks it, and you kind of lunge forward a little bit, and he veers off the runway, and he comes on a few minutes later, and he says, "Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can tell, I decided not to take off." The huge thunder and lightning cloud moved right in the middle of our flight path, and I decided not to take off, because your safety is our number one concern. But he never quite took his thumb off the mic, and he came back on, and he said, "Well, honestly, my safety is the number one concern, but you guys came in a real close second." There was a true story, from what I understand. I read a true story about two businessmen that were flying home from the Aleutian Islands just off the coast of Alaska. They're on their way back to Anchorage to catch a flight to go back home to Seattle. But their flight had been canceled due to some mechanical failures, and that meant that they were going to miss their connection, which meant that they were going to not get home in time, probably at least a day delay in travel. But another business traveler came up to them and said that he owned his own small plane, and he was a pilot, and he was flying back to Anchorage. He had overheard their conversation with the ticket agent and said, "I'd be happy to fly you back to Anchorage." And the two weary business travelers were anxious to get home, and so they said yes. Now, when someone says that they have a small plane, you know, I think of a small jet, like an American Eagle type jet, fits about 12, 15 people maybe. That's a small plane to me. That's not what this guy meant. As they're walking across the tarmac toward his plane, they notice the kind of plane that they're, and this is no bigger than a pack of gum. I mean, this thing was a small plane, and they stopped dead in their tracks and said, we're flying in that?" And it had like four seats, and they got into the plane. One of the businessmen sat next to the pilot, put the headset on, and the other traveler sat right behind the pilot. And they had just enough room for the three of them and the luggage. That's how small this particular plane was. And they were nervous about being on such a small plane with a pilot that they had only met 10 minutes ago. But they were on it, and they taxied down the runway. They took off nice and smooth, just flawless. And they were flying for some time. It's quite a distance to Anchorage. And the travelers were beginning to relax. And if you've ever been to that part of the country, just absolutely gorgeous. And they were admiring the scenery and the view, and there was absolutely no issues until finally the pilot says, "Uh-oh," which is kind of like your dentist saying, "Oops." You know, that's not exactly the kind of thing you want to hear coming out of your pilot. And they said, "What's wrong?" And the pilot points up ahead, and he says, "Well, that's a cloud bank, and I get disoriented in the clouds, and I pass out." Well, they said, What? Couldn't you? What, why didn't you tell us this before? And he said, well, the weather report was clear, so I didn't think it would come up. And at that time, they entered into a very, very thick bank of clouds, and his eyes rolled up in the top of his head, and he's gone. He just slumps over. Well, the other two passengers are shaking him, wake up, and he ain't waking up. He's gone. He's passed out completely. And about that time, the passenger in the front grabbed the hold of the controls, not knowing anything about flying a plane. And he held on tight while the other one got a hold of the radio and was frantically calling for help. And finally, another pilot from one of those overnight air freighters came on, and they told him what was going on. And he patched them through to the Anchorage Emergency Services. And a man came on the radio with a very confident voice. And he says, I understand your situation. My job is to get you home safe, and that is exactly what I'm going to do. But in order for me to do my job, to get you home safe, you have to promise me. You have to promise me that you're going to listen to everything I say. You are going to obey my voice. He said, I can see you even when you can't see me. If you don't obey my voice, you are going to die. These two men were obviously scared, and they couldn't see anything. And after several minutes of silence, the voice came back on, and he says, okay, we found you. We know where you are. We know where you're heading. Hear me clear. At your current heading and altitude, you're going to crash into a mountain and you're going to die. But if you follow my instructions, if you do what I tell you to do, you're going to be okay. And the passenger sitting up front, that the one that was acting as the pilot, he didn't say, why should I listen to what you're telling me? Why should you have control of my life? Why are you the boss? That'd be the most ridiculous thing anybody would say. No one would ever say that, because this man knew that without this voice, he had nothing. We need to constantly and always remember that without God's voice, you have nothing. In Psalms 46, there's a verse in Psalms 46 that all of us know, and it says simply, be still and know that I am God. The words translated as be still is actually one Hebrew word, and it just is Rapha, R-A-F-A. And Rapha has to do with dropping something, of letting something, just let it go. It's could be translated as let go and know that I am God. It's the idea of holding on tight to something, and God says, don't. Drop it and know that I am God. And that's interesting, because the context of Psalms 46, there's a lot of cataclysmic type of events going on here. The earth is shaking, the mountains are trembling and falling into the sea, the waters are roaring and they are foaming. So the last thing, it seems to me, that any of us would want to do is let go. Our brains tell us to do exactly the opposite. Our brains tell us to hold on tight, to do something, to take matters into our own hands. But God says no. He says, Rapha. He says, drop it, be still, stop striving, and know that you are not God. God is our refuge, he says in this psalm. He is our God. He is your God. God who promises to be with us. The God who is our mighty fortress and a refuge and our strength. The God who is our shield. The God who fights on our behalf. In verse 5, it says that God is in the midst of her. We can let go and we can have peace because we know that God is not going to let go of us. The voice on the radio then slowly and clearly walked the man through how to turn the plane, how to increase his altitude and to avoid that mountain. And then the voice came on and it talked to the two frightened passengers and said, it's about an hour and a half to Anchorage. So we got an hour and a half more to go. And the bad news is, there's a lot of very severe weather between where you are and where Anchorage is, you're in for a very rough ride. But the good news, I will not leave you. I will be with you every step of the way. It's like what the Hebrew writer said in chapter 13. I will not leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And the voice said, I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look out at what is going on outside, what is happening all around you. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm, to the lightning, to the thunder. Just listen to my voice. If you start watching the storm, if you start paying attention to what is going on all around you, you're going to lose hope. You're going to become afraid. And you're going to die. But if you listen to my voice, we will get through this. Maybe sometimes you feel like Elisha in 1 Kings chapter 19. After God had defeated the prophets of Baal and he ran and hid in a cave, the wind started to tear the mountains and they broke them into pieces. Then there was an earthquake and then there was fire. And then there was a sound of a low whisper, something very almost not audible at all. And the voice said, what are you doing here? I have great plans for you. Your work is not finished. You are not alone. By now, all the other air traffic in the area had been frozen. And several of the other pilots, those nighttime air freighters, the 747s, came on and started talking and offering encouragement to these two travelers. And they started to give advice. And why not listen to them? I mean, these are pilots. These are experts. They fly in this weather all the time. Surely they know what to do. You and I are surrounded by voices. Everyone wants to talk to you. Everyone wants your attention. And all of them, or not all, but some of them actually start to make sense to you. And everyone wants to be the controlling voice in your head. One voice will say, you will not surely die. Another voice might say, there is no God. There is no right and wrong, a voice would say. The Bible is full of contradictions. You need to follow, this is a very common lie, this is a very common voice we hear today. You need to follow your truth. All of these voices and so many more want you to listen to them. Even your own voice, that conscience, that inner voice that you have, starts to tell you what is right and what is wrong and how you can get yourself out of this mess that you've created in your own life. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death in Proverbs. And God is constantly asking us and pleading with us and saying, I want you to listen to my voice and not become distracted. One Hebrew word that's repeated over and over and over again to his people. God says, Shema. Shema means to hear and to listen. Hear, O Israel. Shema, O Israel. Hear, O my people. Shema, O my people. Israel, if you would but Shema. If you would but listen to me. What's interesting is that in Hebrew, strictly speaking, there is not a word for obey. Now, we're all familiar with all those passages that where the Lord is saying, obey my voice. But literally, that should be translated as listen, hear my voice. That is to say, we are to let God's voice go into our ears and into our hearts and bear the kind of fruit that God's word always bears. Basically, God is speaking, or God is saying, I am speaking and you need to listen. I offer you the words of life and you had better pay attention. Hear them and let these words change who you are. Well, the bad news turned out to be very real. The turbulence was horrible. That little plane was being thrown all over the sky. But the voice never left them. The voice walked them through and helped them navigate through those storms and through the thunderclouds. And then the voice said, okay, I'm going to line you up now. I'm going to bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights. And when you see those lights in Anchorage, what you're going to see is that they are arranged into the shape of a cross. And he said, do not forget that. The way of the cross is going to lead you home. What foolishness, the voices tell us. Why follow? Why listen to a voice of someone who was crucified? Yet the Lord says, listen to me. In Isaiah, he says, give ear, hear my voice, give attention and hear my speech. As they kept ascending, they still couldn't see anything. And perhaps the voice knew that they were getting scared and starting to panic, because he would come on and constantly say, stay with me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And finally, as they were descending for what seemed like an eternity, they finally got a couple hundred feet above the ground and they broke through the clouds and they saw the lights. They saw the cross. And the businessman was able to land that plane. Actually, the way the story goes, he landed it seven times, skipping all across the runway. And when the plane finally came to a stop, the two scared passengers sat there. Their hearts were beating fast. They were sweaty. They were hyperventilating and they started to cry. And the voice came back on one last time and said, thanks for listening. I watch so many crash and burn because they won't follow my voice. They let the other voices get into their heads. And they start thinking that they can trust their own intelligence and their own knowledge and their own skill and get themselves out of the trouble that they are in. And they get distracted with all the mountains and the storms and the obstacles and the pitfalls in their way and in their lives. And they start to watch the storms outside and the turbulence. And they start to listen to all these other voices, but they don't listen to mine. And then they kill themselves. They self-destruct. They don't understand that I am the one who could see them even when they can't see me. And we wonder how is it that so many kids these days make horrible, life-changing decisions and do things that change and alter their life in so many different ways. We see marriages fall apart because they're not listening to the voice of God. We see lives in an absolute mess because they stop listening to what God is trying to say. And God could get them all of that mess if we would but start listening to His voice. One of my favorite psalms, and it's probably the most well-known, is the 23rd Psalm. There's only 55 Hebrew words in that psalm. And at the center, the exact center of that psalm, are the Hebrew words. There's three Hebrew words, and they say, for thou art with me. Those five English words are translated from three Hebrew words. For thou art with me. There are 26 Hebrew words before that phrase, and there are 26 Hebrew words after that phrase. And right in the middle, it says, for thou art with me. The first half of the psalm talks of God in the third person. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me. But then you come to that center. And from that point on, we start talking to God directly. For thou art with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare. You anoint. The central message of this psalm is that God's presence is constantly and always with us, no matter what. No matter where we are. No matter what we are doing. No matter what the dangers or the troubles we face. No matter how alone that we feel, God is by our side. For thou art with me. The two men didn't feel like getting in on another plane that night and flying back to Seattle. So they spent the night in a hotel, and neither one of them could sleep. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, there was a knock on the door. And one of the men got up and answered the door, and there was a man standing out in the hallway with a smile on his face. And he simply said, "Hello." And the man that was the pilot who landed the plane said, "That's you. That's your voice. You're the voice that brought us home. You're the voice that got us out of the trouble." And the man simply said, "I am." You know, one day we're going to be listening to the voice, the only voice that really matters. And hopefully our conversation is, "You're the one that brought me through. You're the one that brought me home. You saw me through the mountains, through the obstacles, through the weather, through the storms, and you saw me through all of my mistakes." And the Lord is going to say, "I am the one. Thank you for listening." A parallel, this idea of listening to His voice and obeying that voice, a parallel to that, to me it seems, is found in the story of the Transfiguration in Matthew and Mark and Luke's account. You know, what's abundantly clear through that story and what the disciples had witnessed, the God says, "This is my beloved Son. You need to listen to what He says. You need to hear Him and Him alone." But something that I always missed or never picked up on was the second part of that. When the great cloud, the bright light had vanished, the disciples looked up and they saw only Jesus. Nothing else mattered. They didn't see anything else. The only thing their eyes fixed on was Jesus. We too need to only see Jesus. We don't need to see the thunder and the lightning and the storms and the mountains that are in our way. Not our trials, not our pain, and not our suffering. We need to see only Jesus. Hebrew writer says, "Set your eyes on Jesus. He endured the cross so that we might not grow weary." So I guess it just matters what are you listening to. There's a story of an American Indian going to New York City for the first time and visiting a friend of his. And he took him downtown, I guess, in Manhattan. And it was an absolute madhouse, according to this guy that's not from the city at all. And, I mean, horns are honking, sirens are blaring, people are talking, the hustle and bustle. You couldn't even, if you talked to yourself, you couldn't hear it. And then the Native American kind of just stops in his tracks and he says, "Wait, I hear a cricket." And his friends say, "Clearly that's not a cricket because you can't hear anything. You can barely hear what I'm telling you. That there's no way you can hear a cricket." And he goes, no, that's a cricket. I could tell." And he goes down the street to where, you know, they have these big trees that are in pots, big potted plant, basically, and he starts rummaging around in the leaves in the bottom and comes up with a cricket in his hand. And his friend from New York says, "How in the world did you hear that?" He said, it's all in what you're listening for. What are you listening for? What is it that you want? What is it that you are facing that you can't seem to get out of? You need to listen to the voice of God. The words of life that He has given to us, those things that really, truly matter. We need to start listening to Him. And sometimes we did at one point and we stopped listening. And we need to start listening again. We need to pay attention to what He's trying to tell us, because everything that He does, everything that He says is for our good always. He does nothing that isn't for our good. We need to understand that. We need to act on that knowledge of God's love and listen to His voice. If you've never heard His voice before, if you've never really paid attention to the things that He's saying to us, we need to stop everything else. We need to stop listening to the cars and the sirens and watching the mountains and the storms. We need to stop all of that. We need to start listening to Him, and we need to obey Him, and we need to do what those things that He's told us to do. We need to obey His gospel. We need to become one of His children by being baptized into the waters, repenting, confessing our sins, and changing our life and dedicating that life to listening to His voice always. If you need to start hearing His voice, if we can help you in any way to listen, then please come forward while we stand and sing for your encouragement.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and
to try.